Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, April the 29th, at least six Christians die in an attack on a Protestant church in the West African nation of Burkina Faso. The United Nations Children's Fund appeals for urgent assistance for thousands of Venezuelan children living as migrants and refugees in Colombia. And Pope Francis invites hairdressers and beauticians to contribute to the common good with Christian style. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. At least six people have died in an attack as they attended a Protestant church service on Sunday in the West African nation of Burkina Faso. Officials said gunmen opened fire on the church in northern Burkina Faso, killing the pastor, two of his sons and three other worshippers. The attackers reportedly arrived on seven motorbikes at the end of the Sunday service. It's the first attack on a church since jihadist violence erupted in Burkina Faso in 2016. Fighters affiliated to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group, as well as the local Ansarul Islam, have been active. The number of attackers involved or their possible affiliations is not clear. United States bishops have expressed their solidarity and say they are praying for victims of a shooting at a U.S. synagogue. Expressing their closeness to the whole Jewish community, the statement of the North American bishops comes in the wake of the second shooting at a synagogue in their nation within the past 6 months. Christopher Wells reports.
Bishops in the United States have spoken out in support and solidarity for the Jewish community after a shooting at the Chabad Synagogue in Poway, California. Bishop Robert McElroy of San Diego asked priests of his diocese to offer prayers at Sunday Masses for victims of the shooting and for the Jewish community as a whole. In a tweet, Bishop McElroy wrote, "I know you join me in profound sadness and outrage that violence born of hatred against people of faith has again rent our nation." Earlier, he had tweeted, "Our hearts go out to everyone at Shabbat House Poway for the senseless violence that took place earlier today. Houses of worship," he said, "should be places of peace." In a statement released on Saturday, the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, said, "I, along with my brother bishops, am greatly saddened and deeply concerned over the news that another house of worship has been subject to violence." He continued, "Our country should be better than this. Our world should be beyond such acts of hatred and anti-Semitism." Cardinal DiNardo said, "It is a contradiction, a perverting of their teachings to believe that Christianity, Judaism, or Islam would condone such violence." Unfortunately, he said, "both in the past and today, too many preach such hatred in the name of God. This cannot be abided," he insisted. "It must end." Cardinal DiNardo assured the victims of the shooting and the Jewish community of Poway of the prayers of Catholics, quoting Psalm 34, saying, "We place our trust and hope in the Lord, who is close to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirit is crushed." One person was killed and three others were injured when a gunman opened fire during preparations for service for the last day of Passover. Initial reports suggest the shooter's firearm may have malfunctioned during the attack. The gunman was chased from the synagogue and made his escape by car. An off-duty law enforcement agent fired at him as he drove off, hitting the vehicle. The suspect was later arrested and is currently in custody. I'm Christopher Wells.
In Sri Lanka, authorities have banned face coverings in public following a spate of suicide attacks in churches and hotels on Easter Sunday that killed at least 250 people and injured hundreds. The president said he was using an emergency law to impose the restriction from today. His office said any face garment which hinders identification will be banned to ensure security. The niqab or the burqa worn by Muslim women were not specifically named, but Muslim leaders have criticized the move. Sri Lanka remains on high alert 8 days after Islamic attacks that hit churches and hotels. And at least 327,000 children from Venezuela are living as migrants and refugees in Colombia. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, warned today that without increased support, their health, education, protection and well-being will be in jeopardy. John Waters reports.
As the political and humanitarian crisis in Venezuela continues, more and more Venezuelans are fleeing abroad in search of a better life. UNICEF has released a statement detailing the scale of the problems. Venezuela's crisis dates back to a collapse in oil prices in 2010, which damaged the country's economy. Further economic problems have caused shortages of food and medicine. 3.7 million Venezuelans have fled to other countries, with over a million arriving in Colombia. A border town called Cucuta hosts 10,000 Venezuelan children, but without further help, UNICEF warns they could all be in further danger. It's estimated that $29 million US dollars are needed to fully support all of these migrants, but so far only $5.7 million has been raised. Paloma Escudero, UNICEF's communications director, has had much praise for the efforts of Colombia to help with the situation. She says in a statement, "At a time when anti-migrant sentiment is growing around the world, Colombia has generously kept open its doors to its Venezuelan neighbors. As more and more families take the painful decision to leave their homes in Venezuela, this is the time for the international community to step up its support and meet their basic needs. We cannot allow generosity to diminish." UNICEF has already provided mobile health clinics, water sanitation facilities, and psychological support for traumatized children within the region. More recently, prenatal facilities and health care for newborn babies has become a priority.
And thanks there to John Waters for that report. An interreligious international conference celebrating the 10th anniversary of the John Paul II Centre for Interreligious Understanding and its Russell Berry Fellowship kicks off in Rome next week. The conference, entitled Education for Action, the Urgency of Interreligious Leadership for the Global Good, will focus on the power of interfaith leadership in bringing about positive change on the world scenario. The JP2 Centre for Interreligious Understanding was founded by theologian and scholar Rabbi Jack Ben-Porad. He spoke to Vatican News about the growing importance of interreligious dialogue and about the work the centre does.
We've been going now for 10 years, and we're going to have a celebration on May 7th and 8th to highlight what we've been doing these last 10 years. The basic philosophy behind it is that increasingly we are encountering an interreligious world. And in a world which is now increasingly an interreligious world, it's very hard to say I'm only Jewish or Catholic or Protestant or Muslim. We can't say that because we're living continually in a world that is being exposed to other religions, to teachings of other religions, so that what we have to do is we have to go from an exclusivistic language, which basically says I'm right and you're wrong, to an inclusivistic language, which says, yes, I'm right. I'm not denying the truthfulness of my own religion. But at the same time, I want to know what in the other religion is of value, because we're living in a global world which is very united and increasingly more and more united. So how can we develop a language that will enable us to better work together for a common good? It seems to me we need some structure that will develop a new language, new categories, which will enable religions to work together, because who is going to be the conscience of society and the voice for humanity if not religion? And so in this respect, I think what this program is trying to do is to say, okay, if we really want to develop a new language, if we want to develop new ways of understanding, if we want to develop new ways of really impacting on the world, well, we've got to get leaders who are willing to do that. So for the last 10 years, we've tried to give scholarships to the very best people in all religions and teach them enough about these religions so that they come to their work with a very different perspective. And that perspective is the language of interreligious understanding.
And that was theologian and scholar Rabbi Jack Ben-Porad, founder of the JP2 Center for Religious Understanding. And Spain's governing socialists have won the country's third election in 4 years, but are short of a majority. Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez's party will need the help of either left-wing Podemos and regional parties or the centre-right to form a government. Far-right party Vox also won seats, the first time a significant far-right force has done so in decades. Vox opposes multiculturalism, unrestricted migration, and what it calls radical feminism. And finally, Pope Francis today met representatives of the Association of Hairdressers, Hairstylists and Beauticians of Italy, encouraging them to live their profession with a Christian style, helping contribute to the common good of society. As Robin Gomes reports, some 230 members of St. Martin de Porres Committee, that is present in many regions of Italy, met the Pope in the Vatican on their weekly day of rest, Monday, which this week coincides with the feast of their patron saint.
Pope Francis noted that the pilgrimage of hairdressers and beauticians to the tombs of the apostles in Rome and their meeting with the successor of Peter are a sign of the importance they attach to the Christian faith as well as to the religious dimension that characterizes their association. This, he said, is because of St. Martin de Porres, their patron. The Peruvian saint of mixed race, the Pope explained, was accepted into the order of the Dominican Fathers only as a tertiary and then as a brother and co-worker. He accepted this condition, living a life of utmost humility, radiated by love.
Si dedicò con abnegazione ai poveri, ai malati, riservando loro cure sanitarie.
The Pope said that St. Martin devoted himself with self-sacrifice to the poor and the sick, providing them with health care thanks to the concepts he learned first in a pharmacy and then as a pupil of a barber surgeon, according to the custom of the time. Born in Lima on December the 9th, 1579, St. Martin died in the Peruvian capital on November the 3rd, 1639. He was declared saint by St. Pope John the 23rd in 1962. Pope Francis said that the humble and great figure of St. Martin de Porres, whom Pope St. Paul VI proclaimed patron of their category in 1966, helps them to bear constant witness to Christian values.
Ad esercitare la vostra professione con stile cristiano, trattando i clienti con gentilezza e cortesia.
The Holy Father said that St. Martin encourages them above all to practice their profession in a Christian style, treating customers with kindness and courtesy, and always offering them a good word and encouragement, avoiding giving in to the temptation of gossip that easily creeps into their work environment, about which everyone is aware.
Possa sempre agire con rettitudine, rendendo così un positivo contributo al bene comune della società.
In conclusion, the Holy Father pointed out that each one of them in their typical professional work can always act with righteousness, thus making a positive contribution to the common good of society. I am Robin Gomes.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal. You can catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and on Twitter. My thanks go to Roberto Colangeli in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.